Please take your Bible this morning, open to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 1. You know, there's a line in the chorus of that song that we just sang together that says, give of the strength of your youth. And singing that song, I couldn't help but think about this thought that many of us in the room today are not all that young, but you are as young today as you're ever going to be. So give of the strength of your youth, the youth that you have left, all right? Give of the strength of your youth. Good reminder to all of us. Just because we are a little bit past young years doesn't mean that God's not got something for us to do. And so whatever age we are, every one of us can give of our best to the Master, just like that song says. 1 Corinthians 16, I'm going to read verses 1 through 4, and then I want to speak to you this morning about giving with purpose. Giving with purpose. In 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 through 4, the Bible says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me." And I'll stop reading right there. I just want to say again, I think I've explained this a couple of times this month, but I want to do it again. The church at Jerusalem had gone through some real tough times. And the Apostle Paul had written various churches and asked them to take up an offering to help the poor saints at Jerusalem, and also would write later on and say, "I'm going to be coming by your way, and I'm going to be coming with some men that hopefully are trustworthy, and we'd like to receive that gift and take it back to Jerusalem for those saints that are suffering." And so right here in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 through 4, he's referring to that. Collection for the saints is mentioned in verse 1, and he's encouraging them in verse 2, every time you meet together on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, make sure you bring your offering and lay it by in store at the church there, and everybody get involved as God has prospered you. And then when I come, whomsoever you approve, we're going to take that offering and bring it to the church at Jerusalem and do our best to be a help and a blessing to them. It's not a whole lot different than receiving offerings from missionaries. Taking up a collection and sending it wherever it's needed to help do the work of missions. And so several times this month, and I refer to it again this morning, we're thinking about giving to missions. We're thinking about, as I've tried to remind you all month long, praying and asking God what he would have you to do. And a little bit later this morning, we're going to give you an opportunity to fill out a card on which you can jot down the amount that the Lord showed you that you're supposed to give to missions each week. And hopefully you've prayed about that and you're prepared to do that. And we're going to do that again at the end of this morning's service. Nothing at all to be afraid of, something really kind of exciting to be involved in, all of us together taking up this collection for our missionaries and especially people in foreign lands that haven't yet heard the gospel and need to hear about the plan of salvation. So we're going to take care of that a little bit later today. Let's pause right here and pray, and we'll get into our outline this morning, giving with purpose. Lord, thank you for this opportunity that we have to be together, and for all of us who are a part of this church family, who are going to be given the opportunity, and hopefully we'll take this opportunity, to together support missionaries and the cause of missions in various areas of the world. Please help us all to listen carefully and hear what you have for us today. Help me, Lord, as the speaker, that I might be your mouthpiece to speak to your children today. And I pray that you will help me and give me the wisdom to know what to say And we'll thank you for what you do in our hearts and lives this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I think I've reminded you a couple of times in all the years that we've had this Missions Month, including this one, that the things we possess have all come from the Lord. Everything we have, God was kind enough to give to us. He, technically, is the owner, and we, technically, are the stewards. We are the managers for the Lord. Part of being a good steward of the Lord's things is to make sure that we use some of what He has given us to support His work on this earth. Supporting His work on this earth means giving. All right? We give through the offerings of our church to help carry out His work, not only here in Stoughton and also Wisconsin and America, but throughout the world. And to give that way, to do it properly, demonstrates, of course, good stewardship. Good stewardship before our Lord. Proper giving, good stewardship, demonstrates the fact that we love the Lord and we love those who are lost and don't yet know the Lord as their Savior. So today in this message, a pretty simple outline, as most all of my outlines are, but I want to speak to you about giving with purpose. And when I think about giving with purpose, I think about these three things. All right, here's the 3 points in the outline. Number one, giving with purpose requires proper motives. Number two, giving with purpose requires proper methods. And number three, giving with purpose requires proper measure. So those are my 3 points this morning. And we'll start out with that first one. Giving with purpose requires proper motives. And the very first motive that I bring to you this morning is first because I believe this is top of the line, the very best motive that any of us can have, and that is consecration to the Lord. Consecration to the Lord. This motive of being consecrated to the Lord, I think, is the highest motive that any of us can have. Dedication to Him, consecration to Him, giving Him all of us from top to bottom, from head to toe, allowing the Lord to truly be master and Lord in our life. We are consecrated to Him. That means we have given ourselves to Him and will do our very best to follow His wishes and instructions for our life. When a person is consecrated to the Lord, the subject of giving is not a difficult subject. Because we realize everything we have belongs to the Lord. All of us belongs to the Lord. And so to hear about that and talk about that is not something difficult for us to hear or get involved in. We want to get involved because we're consecrated to the Lord. Giving with purpose requires proper motives. And the very first, top-of-the-line motive that I have here is consecration to the Lord. Another motive that is right close behind that is conviction from the Scriptures. Conviction from the Scriptures. And what I mean by that is that we are fully persuaded that what we are doing here is supported by the Bible. Supported by the Bible. For instance, we know, don't we, from the Scriptures, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible is very clear about that. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And of course, that means, doesn't it, that somebody's got to go tell them. Now, I can't speak for you. I can speak for me. I don't think that I'll ever be a missionary on a foreign field. I'm pretty sure of that. I'm coming near the end of my life, and I'm pretty sure of that. But I do know this. God has called me to be a pastor and a preacher of His Word. And He's also called me, by the way, to be a missionary right where I live. So I can do that. And I should do that. I should try my best to talk to individuals who don't yet know the Lord as their Savior. Now, I understand some of them don't want to hear it. I know that. I don't know about you. I try not to waste a whole lot of time on those people because they don't want to hear it or they're not ready to hear it right now. But along the way, you come across people who are ready and are willing to listen. And those are the ones that we can talk to. And of course, they will hear what you have to say. Some of them will put it off. Some of them, though, will pray and ask the Lord to save them. See, that's what missions is all about. It's telling someone the simple plan of salvation, the gospel message. And by the way, people need to hear it here, but people also need to hear it on the foreign field. And that's where our missionary support goes, is to the foreign field to help people tell the gospel to those who've never heard over there. All right? So, consecration to the Lord, that's first. But then conviction from the scriptures, and that means I'm fully persuaded that the Bible does want me to do this and get involved in this. Then there's another motive, consecration to the Lord, conviction from the scriptures. How about compulsion from the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit compelling me to get involved. I believe that as we read the scriptures, as we hear from various missionaries and pastors and preachers, as we pray about giving to missions, I believe with all my heart the Holy Spirit will compel us to get involved. The Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts about the need and how we can use what we have to help meet that need. This is why, by the way, every October we have in our church here a missions emphasis month. And it's during that month of October that we ask you to pray about this and seek the Lord about this and talk about this, preach about this, teach about this, because the cause of worldwide missions is something that we all need to try to get involved in. And as we hear about it and as we pray about it, the Holy Spirit of God speaks to our hearts in that still small voice and moves us to get involved to help get the gospel to the world. Compulsion from the Holy Spirit. So there's consecration to the Lord, conviction from the scriptures, compulsion from the Holy Spirit, and here's a fourth motive I give you, and that is compassion for lost sinners. Compassion for lost sinners. The world is made up of two groups of people. One group is those who are saved. The other group is those who are lost. You do understand, don't you, and remember that at one time, you were not among the saved. You were among the lost. Aren't you glad somebody came and told you how to get saved? I know I am. I'm very glad somebody came to me and told me how to be saved. You see, at one time, we were lost just like the hundreds of thousands, millions perhaps, of people in the world that still are lost and don't know the Lord as their Savior. And we are so thankful that somebody came to us with the gospel message. Well, knowing what I know today, if I were still lost, I would want somebody to come and tell me how to get saved. Knowing what I know today about being saved and having sins forgiven and name written in the Lamb's Book of Life and headed for heaven and all that God has done for me since I got saved, knowing what I know today, if I were still lost, I would want somebody to come and tell me how to get saved. Do you realize, friend, there are millions of people in the world who still have never heard? Sounds strange to you and me, but there's people right here in America that still have not heard. There's people right here in Stoughton that still have not heard. All of us should have a compassion on these people and a desire for them to hear the gospel. At least give them the opportunity. Now, maybe they'll turn it down. Some do. But they can't turn it down if nobody gives them the opportunity. And that's where you and I come in. We need to talk to them and witness to them about our Savior. So giving with purpose, that's the title this morning. Giving with purpose requires, first of all, proper motives. These motives I give to you this morning: consecration to the Lord, conviction from the Scriptures, compulsion from the Holy Spirit, and compassion for lost sinners. Second main thought I want to talk with you about this morning is giving with purpose requires not only proper motivation, it also requires proper methods. Proper methods. I think these thoughts that I'm going to give you next are also very important, and they have to do with giving. I want to encourage you this morning this about giving. I think our giving, yours and mine, our giving needs to be systematic. Our giving needs to be systematic. And when I say systematic, I mean not hit and miss. I don't know what you think about what I'm going to say next, but here it comes. Most people who give hit and miss, miss more than they hit. Amen, Pastor. I agree with you. I agree with you. Most people who give hit and miss, miss more than they hit. On the other hand, those who give systematically, they don't give hit and miss. They give consistently. Okay? For instance, every Sunday, now sometimes even in between, but every Sunday, and it happens before we ever get here, Sarah and I have our offering made out, put it in an envelope. She has it. Every Sunday you put it in, right? By the way, that's good because I'm trusting you to do this. All right? But every Sunday she comes with our offering, and as the plate goes by, she puts it in. All right? That's called systematic giving. Every Sunday. By the way, that was kind of referred to in our text, wasn't it? Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you. Systematic giving. See, systematic giving requires a commitment. I understand that. Requires a commitment. But every Sunday, you're going to give that offering. Okay? Giving with purpose requires proper methods. First of all, your giving, our giving, should be systematic. Secondly, our giving should also be specific. Specific. When I talk about specific giving, I'm talking about not just a general offering that, here, Pastor, you take this, use it however you see fit. No, specific giving. Okay? And here's an example. On our offering envelopes, I should have brought one up here with me, but on our offering envelopes, there's a couple of different boxes. I know there's a box for tithe. I know there's a box for missions. And then I think the third box is for other. And then it gives some examples there, like building fund or, you know, special offerings of one kind or another. So specific giving means I gave so much for tithe, I gave so much for missions, and then I gave so much, for instance, for Project Blessing. By the way, we did that today, right? We gave an offering today for Project Blessing, for the Christmas offering, for our missionaries, for the whole month, and you did put it in?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to check with the ushers to make sure. But specific giving, see? And this is probably a good place. The deacons who count our money are going to be glad I told you this again. I've told you this many times. But I keep repeating it because sometimes people still forget. But on your offering envelope, make sure you put your name or your giving number. The reason that's important is because if you don't put your name or your giving number, if you just leave that part of it blank, the deacons who count the money, they won't know where to credit that. So either your name or your number or both, but at least your number, so they know where it goes. And then also put down where that money goes. You know, so much for tithe, so much for missions, so much for Project Blessing. The more specific you are, the more that helps them when they record the money. Okay? So specific giving, okay? Not just a general offering, here, use it wherever you want. If you need to buy some bubble gum, you know, just go. No, just specific. You spell it out. You put down what you want each amount to go to, okay? And when it comes to missions giving, the amount that God laid on your heart that you put down on that card, that's the amount that goes in the missions box, okay? So systematic. Our giving should be systematic. It should be specific. when we speak about giving with purpose requires methods, our giving should not only be systematic and specific, our giving should also be sacrificial. Sacrificial. You remember when we looked at the passage in Mark chapter 12? Jesus sitting by the treasury, it says, and these people come by and they give their tithes and offerings, and Jesus is watching and seeing all that. And then this little widow woman comes by and she puts in, the Bible says, 2 mites. It was everything she had. She put it in the offering box there. And Jesus says to his disciples later on, you know, this little woman gave more than all the rest of them put together. And of course, that was sacrifice. It was a great sacrifice on her part. That was truly sacrificial giving. Now, I mentioned to you last week, and I'm going to say it again this morning, I'm not there yet. I'm going to ask my wife again. You did put in that offering envelope, right? Okay. That offering envelope that you put in, and you know this because we do it together, but that wasn't everything we had in the checkbook, was it?
No.
I don't mind telling you that. I'm not there yet where that widow woman was. But I hope you'll get this. The offering that we gave today, for instance, just as one example, the offering that we gave today was a sacrifice. I want you to think about it. Sacrificial giving. Here's an example from the Old Testament. When the Old Testament requirement was, I want you to bring a lamb, or I want you to bring a bullock, or I want you to bring a couple of turtle doves. I want you to bring an animal, you know, as a sacrifice. And they brought their sacrifices to the Lord. Did they bring every animal they had? No. No. But did they bring a sacrifice? Yes. Yes, they did. And exactly what the Lord required. You see my point? When you give an offering and you give it, like I said, sacrificially, are you giving a sacrifice? Are you giving it sacrificially, even though it's not everything you have in your checkbook? I say yes. And here's why I say that. Because you could use that money for something else, but instead of using it for something else, you sacrifice that and you give that offering to the Lord. Sacrificial giving. Does that make sense? I was working on this and I was putting these thoughts on paper, and the Lord seemed to lay that on my heart, saying, look, it's not everything like the little widow woman gave her 2 mites, but it's still a sacrifice because you could be using that amount, whatever it is, for whatever. Something else that you want. Something else. By the way, plenty of folks do that. Huh? Come on. Plenty of folks do that. And by the way, I don't mind saying this either because I think it's true. God's going to get his offering. One way or the other. Might be a new set of tires. Huh? Might be a new refrigerator. Might be a washer and dryer. Might be a water heater. You'd be surprised how long things will last if you'll be faithful to give. God doesn't have to get his offering some other way. Wow, is it quiet in here? The offering for missions, or the offering for even your tithe and Project Blessing and whatever offerings are given, you're sacrificing something else so that you can use that money for the Lord's work. And because you're using that money for the Lord's work and not for that other thing, whatever it is, that's sacrificial giving. It's causing you and me to spend this amount, whatever it is, X, Y, or Z, on missions that I would have used perhaps on something else. Sacrificial giving. Our giving with purpose requires proper methods. It should be systematic. It should be specific. It should be sacrificial. And here's another and really important point. It should be Spirit-led. Spirit-led. The Holy Spirit of God desires that all of us get involved in giving to missions. And I think if we pray and ask Him, I've been encouraging you this all month long, if we pray and ask Him, He will lead us to give what He wants us to give. This is the reason we encourage you to pray about this during the month of October. This is why we encourage you to listen for His still small voice. This is why we encourage you, you don't have to do what I want you to do or what your neighbor wants you to do. What does the Lord want you to do? See, Spirit-led, listen, Spirit-led, not man-led. Spirit-led. Giving with purpose requires proper motives. Consecration to the Lord, conviction from the Scriptures, compulsion from the Holy Spirit, compassion for lost sinners. Number two, giving with purpose requires proper methods. It should be systematic, it should be specific, it should be sacrificial, it should be Spirit-led. Last main point this morning is this: giving with purpose requires proper measure. Proper measure. The very best place to begin with your giving is tithing. It's the very best place to begin. Tithing is, according to the Bible, tithing is giving 10% of all your increase. I have a book. In fact, I have two copies of it. And I know I've loaned it out here before, too. But I have a book that is called It Only Hurts Between Paydays. It Only Hurts Between Paydays. And that book was very beneficial in my growth as a Christian when it comes to giving. And it mentions in there tithing, but it also mentions, when it talks about tithing, it mentions, you know, starting out at 7% or 5%. And when I get to that part, I think, no, that's not tithing. Tithing is 10%. By the way, it is 10%. The author of this book is wrong. Because tithing is 10% of all your increase. According to the Bible, and by the way, it's both Old and New Testament, tithing is the right thing to do. You say, New Testament? Yes, it's even mentioned in the New Testament as the right thing to do. 10% of all of our increase is a great place to begin, but giving over and above the tithe in an offering like missions, that's an individual decision that you and I have to make. Hopefully we ask the Lord, as we've been encouraged to do this month. Hopefully we now know this Sunday, we now know what we're going to write down on this card right here. It's an individual decision. Nobody can tell you what to do. Nobody should tell you what to do. It's between you and the Lord. Giving over and above the tithe in an offering like mission has to be at the Lord's direction. So hopefully you've all asked the Lord, and hopefully you know what He wants you to do, and hopefully you'll follow through with what He wants you to do. Giving over and above the tithe in an offering like missions, by the way, you ready for this? It's always rewarded by God. Always. In this audience right here where I'm speaking, there are many people that would back me up on this. Because you've gotten involved in this kind of giving, you can back me up on this fact that God always rewards that kind of giving. Always. Here's a Bible verse. You ready? 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So the question is, how much do you want to reap? Amen. How much do you want to reap? You want to reap sparingly? Well, then give sparingly. You want to reap bountifully? Then sow bountifully. Sow bountifully. You want to reap sparingly? Well, then you sow sparingly. You want to reap bountifully? You sow bountifully. The more you give, the more God will bless you. In past years, I've mentioned this. You give God with a teaspoon, he gives you back with a big soup ladle. You give with a soup ladle, he gives you with a shovel. You give with a shovel, God gives you back with a bucket. You give with a bucket, God gives you back with a little red flyer wagon full. Okay? You give with a little red flyer wagon full, God gives you back. And you don't get the point, right? The more you give, you can, listen. You'll never outgive the Lord. Never. You'll find out as you give, he gives back to you. And you give some more and he gives more back to you. And you give some more, he gives more back to you. The more you learn to give, the more God gives back to you. He always rewards that giving. So giving with purpose, that's my thought this morning. It requires proper motives. It requires proper methods. It requires proper measure. And I encourage you again this morning, friend, the more faithful you are in this area, the more faithful God will be to you in that area. Would you bow your heads? You don't have to stand. Just bow your heads with me. Not going to ask anybody to come forward this morning. But Father, as we bow our heads before you today, in just a few moments, we're going to pass out these cards and give people an opportunity to get involved in giving to missions. Hopefully, every one of us have prayed this month and ask you what you want us to do. Sarah and I are certain what we believe you want us to do, and I hope everybody else here is certain as to what you want them to do as well. Please, Lord, help us to do what we can, because missionaries like the ones that we support, they depend on us for that support. And there are other missionaries who would like to go who also will need our support in the months to come. Bless, please, as we take a few moments to fill out these cards and determine what our faith promise will be for the new year. And we'll thank you for what you do in our lives and in our church's life and on the mission field. In Jesus' name, amen.